Good evening, sister. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we come to you tonight, giving you all the glory and the honor. Thank you for allowing us to make it through the week as well as today. Father, we know that some of us did not make it this far today, and we give you and we ask that you continue to cover their families, Father. Father, we ask that you watch over each and every one of us. Allow this word tonight to give us a more understanding and closer relationship with you, Father. Father, we ask that you just continue to watch over each and every one of us after this lesson and continue to cover our families. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Now at this time, we're going to have our scripture reading by our dear sister, Joyce Williams.
Good evening, ladies. Good evening. I will be reading two passages of scripture, one from Psalms 5 and 7, and the other one from Matthew 26 and verse 39. Psalm 5 and 7 is coming from the Easy Reading Version. And the scripture is follows. But by your great mercy, I can enter your house. I can worship in your holy temple with fear and respect for you. And in Matthew 26 and 39 states, it's coming from the King James Version. It states, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. May God add a blessing to the hearers and doers of his word. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much, Sister Joyce Williams, for boldly reading God's word on tonight. Amen. Now at this time, we're going to have a song by our songbird, Sister Terry Wright White Greer.
Yeah, you left your room this morning. Did you think to pray in the name of Christ our Savior? Did you sue for loving fever as a shield today? When you've met with great temptation, did you think to pray? By his dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide today? And when your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So in life life seems dark and dreary. Don't forget to pray.
Amen. Amen. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Sister Greer, for that beautiful, beautiful song. Now, at this time, we will have the introduction of our speaker of the hour, and that will be done by our dear sister, Cheryl Anderson.
Thank you, Sister Katrina. Good night, LPW family and our honored guests. Tonight, I have the pleasure of introducing our speaker of the hour, Sister Lalita Crenshaw. She is a member of the Bird Street Church of Christ in Shelbyville, Tennessee. She has been a member of our Lord's body since April 1965 at the Green Street Church of Christ in Nashville, Tennessee, where she attended with her grandparents that raised her. She became a member of LPW in 2017 and began getting involved in the 100 Days of Prayer. She is a member of the Welcome Team, the Health Team, and the ESAF Team. She enjoys working in the Lord's body wherever there is a need. She's been a Ladies' Day speaker, youth worker, Sunday school and Wednesday night Bible class teacher, and is presently the facilitator of the Ladies' Devo and Prayer Ministry at the Bird Street Congregation. She has 14 grandchildren, 2 grand dogs, and 8 great-grandchildren. The Lord is truly in the blessing business. I now introduce to some and present unto others, Warrior Sister Lalita Renee Crenshaw.
Good evening, sisters.
Good evening.
Tonight, I am honored to be allowed to speak to you on the topic, Preparing to Pray. I first want to give honor to God, who is the head of my life. And I want to thank the admins for this opportunity. I also want to thank our host, our wonderful host, Sister Katrina Stafford, and the opening prayer by Sister Tracy Crenshaw, scripture read by Sister Joyce Williams, and our song of praise by Sister Terry White Greer, introduction to the speaker, Sister Cheryl Anderson, and our closing prayer will be graciously rendered by Sister Adrian Jameson. Thank you, sisters, for all of your participation. I also want to recognize our first-time callers and guests, and I want you to know that you are our honored guest, and please come again. We meet here every Friday night at the same time and number. Please don't be a stranger. From the main theme, Preparing to Pray, I decided to name my lesson, Training to Pray. So now we're getting ready to have our basic training, sisters. And our basic training for praying 100 days should take place this month to train us for the task at hand. In planning our task, we need to look at 4 elements for praying. We need to look at why, what, when, and how. Now, I like for everything to be in order and on one accord. So now we're going to look back and get Sister LaDonna's words for our training. She did 3 very important words, and they were mindset, motive, and method. Thank you, Sister LaDonna, for setting the stage. We need to get our mindset for praying, make our motive to be to glorify God while presenting all prayer requests to the throne of mercy 24/7. And then I decided that with that being brought out, that my training tonight is the method or methods to take to use to accomplish our task. The questions of why, what, when, and how are our steps to success. Why? We need to know the purpose of prayer. What? The types of prayer. What is and isn't prayer, and what are God's answers to prayer? when. What we do in LPW for 100 days, we have a scheduled time to pray. But sisters, don't let that be the only time you pray, because sometimes you may have to do a spontaneous prayer. So we have to keep our motives and mindset focused on God to be able to pray at a scheduled time as well as spontaneous time in the interest of others. How? There are postures of prayer. Sisters, all of these things are to be practiced before January the 1st, 2022, to make sure you're ready to begin on time and to enter God's favor. These things become, as Sister LaDonna says, our methods. Let's begin with number one, why? The ultimate purpose of prayer is for the glory of God. The best answer he can give to any prayer is whatever answer brings him the most glory, as found in Psalms 148:13 and Isaiah 43:7. One who has all authority in heaven and on earth certainly doesn't need us, Romans 9:20-24. And so the mere fact that we're here is testimony to his glory. God's pattern is to make his glory known progressively in our lives and through our life from one situation to the other. Every prayer request and every scenario that triggers the prayer request is actually an opportunity for us to witness God's glory firsthand. Because when he answers, that's what he's doing, giving us insight into his glory. He's wanting us to see what he is, just what he's like, our provider, our healer, 2 Kings 20:5, our sustainer, Psalms 54:4, the one who is wiser than our own wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1:25. He wants us to know him as our creator, savior, Lord, provider, protector, friend, counselor, and for us to worship him as such with full appreciation. Not just generally, but personally. Lord, show us your glory, we pray. And be assured he will. When you pray for something and ask that the Father may be glorified in the Son, John 14:13, prepare for him to do what he knows will bring him the most glory. And when he does, your proper response, like Abraham, is to worship him. That is what's meant by glorifying God, valuing and honoring by your thanks and praise the attribute he's just shown you and revealed about himself. God is being glorified through his work with his people. So when God answers prayer, brag on what he's done and is doing. It gives him glory. Of all the things prayer is and does, the greatest accomplishment and its greatest joy is that it allows us, his beloved children, to be part of bringing him glory. To God be the glory. Now let's move on to number two and three, because they accent one another. What and when, what is and isn't prayer, what types of prayer, what are God's answers to prayer, and scheduled and spontaneous prayer. Prayer is not just about prayer. Just like a cell phone is not just about a cell phone. A cell phone's primary purpose is not for itself, but to serve as a conduit to connect us in relationships. If you hold it to your ear and not engage another person with it, then we are not making it do what it was created to do. Likewise, there are activities you can participate in that may look and feel like prayer, but they're not really prayer if God is not truly engaged. Sitting with your eyes closed and trying to empty your head of all conscious brain activity is not prayer. The moment of silence that somehow supposed to substitute for public praying in order to appease the sensitivities of civil rights groups, it's not prayer. Repeating words incoherently is not prayer. Prayer at its heart is communicating with God reverently and openly, sincerely, interacting directly with the magnificent God of the universe who is really there. The reason such a basic reminder is even needed is because, honestly, we can devise or deceive ourselves with our own performance or forget we're in his presence when we pray. But realize in prayer that we're bowing before the same one who in John's revelation is described like this. His head and his hair were white wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand, he held 7 stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp 2-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. That came from Revelations 1:14-16. If we could only understand what being in the presence of the Almighty is truly like, our mind wouldn't be casually wandering. We wouldn't be drifting in and out of sleep. We'd be fully alert and overwhelmed, all attention held captive, stunned, speechless. And when we did speak, we would be humble, reverent, and very careful with what came out of our mouths. A few select servants of God have had opportunities to experience his visible presence, Moses on Mount Sinai, and to enter the tent of meeting while the people stood outside watching. To be in God's presence was holy. They realized the seriousness of what meeting with God entailed. So we must, in our scheduled times for prayer, realize that prayer is serious business. The only reason we've been given the privilege of prayer at all is because Jesus, our great high priest, has violently taken on our sins with his own blood and passed through the heavens to create a portal by breaking down the wall, the curtain of access to the Father. From Hebrews 4:14, Matthew 27:51, Mark 15:38, Luke 23:45, Hebrews 10:19-20, and Exodus 33:20-23. Our God is a consuming fire, as in Hebrews 12:29. Approaching him in our sinfulness would be like a popsicle trying to approach the sun. We must always remember how much higher and grander and greater than us he is. But because of Jesus, our high priest is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, since he has been tempted in all things as we are, though never succumbing to sin, Hebrews 4:15. And because we as believers are clothed in his righteousness, only through Christ are we safe with God. So, prayer is communion with God in order to intimately know, love, and worship him. Prayer is communion with God in order to understand and confirm our lives to his will and ways. Prayer doesn't merely change things, it will change us. Prayer is communion with God in order to access and advance his kingdom, power, and glory. Again, prayer is not about prayer. It is about a person, God himself. When it becomes merely about accessing the provision or protection of God rather than knowing and pleasing the person of God, then we are getting off track. But when the one goal of our praying is to live in relationship with him, you know, one-on-one, he will cause prayer to also help us experience his purposes, his plans, his provision, his protection, and everything else he intends, all for his glory. Now, the types of prayer. Over the years, there have been lists and methods developed to help explain different types of prayer. But I prefer to use the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, and S for supplication. Adoration is prayer that praises and worships God. Psalms 150 challenges us to praise God with whatever means possible in all types of places and at all available times. Confession, excuse me, ladies. Confession is prayer that gets honest about sin. Getting right and staying clean before God is necessary to remain close to Him and be effective in prayer. That's why you will hear sisters say they are repenting of their sins so that this prayer will not be hindered. This is to maintain that closeness with God, that He will hear and answer. We are all sinners and all stumble in many ways, James 3:2. Yet, we are not ready to properly serve God or ask Him for much of anything until we honestly confess and turn from any unaddressed sin in our lives. But when we do, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Psalms 32:1-2. Then we move to thanksgiving. That is God-directed, humbly expressed gratitude. While praise focuses on who God is, thanksgiving focuses on what he has done or is doing. We should magnify him with thanksgiving, knowing our heartfelt gratitude greatly pleases our Heavenly Father. Psalm 69:30. Thanksgiving is priceless, yet it costs us nothing except the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hebrews 13:15. Developing a grateful heart is a major part of God's agenda. His word commands it, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. His works demand it, Psalms 106:47. And his spirit inspires it, 1 Corinthians 2:11-12. God's grace helps enable any believer anywhere in the world to give thanks in any situation, Psalms 118:21 and 2 Corinthians 4:15. Regardless to whatever the pain or problem in life, we each have things to be thankful for. God's word says, in everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and Ephesians 5:20. And supplication is asking for something from God. It means beseech, petition, or appeal for him to do or provide something for yourself or others. Ephesians 6:18, James 4:2, and Matthew 7:7-8. Among the four types of prayer, there's biblical wisdom in listing supplication last. Our hearts are more pure and ready to pray in faith when we have first adored God, confessed our sins, and thanked him for what he's done. One important type of supplication is intercession, which carries the idea of intervening with a request on behalf of someone else. Interceding is one of the most loving things you can do for others. That is also one of the things 100 Days of Prayer is all about, the loving act of intervening on behalf of one another and others. When God was about to judge Israel, Moses interceded and asked for mercy. While Haman was planning to destroy the Jews, Esther interceded in prayer and then politically interceded for the people and saved her nation. The Bible says Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us, Romans 8:34. And the Holy Spirit is in the hearts of believers, interceding for us according to the will of God, Romans 8:27. So, we too must learn to pray for others. Prayer at any moment will most likely be one of these four basic and broad types. Over time, if you want your relationship with God to stay in full bloom, your praying should incorporate each of them. There are no rigid rules. God gives freedom in prayer to flow in and out of these areas as needed. You can approach him with only one, or you can integrate them all. And yet together, they provide a useful and natural progression as you interact with the Lord. You don't need to always include every type of prayer when you pray. Sometimes you need to just get to the point, like Peter when he cried, "Lord, save me," Matthew 14:30. Or when Jesus said, Father, glorify your name. And that was it, John 12:28. But as you prepare for your time in the 100 days of prayer, at your scheduled time, all together, they make your prayer a richer, more complete experience. Sisters, it may seem like a lot to prepare to pray every day, but think about it. When you were growing up, didn't you talk to your parents and siblings daily about something? How did you let your parents know what you wanted to plan to do as far as school, church, and activities that you were interested in? How did you tell them that you and your friends wanted to do some things, but Joella does not have enough money, but you too think this would be beneficial to you both, or that it was an activity to help someone else? That was petitioning your parents for whatever the desires of your heart and mind were. Sometimes you stood in the mirror and practiced what you were going to say to petition mom or dad. That is just what you are doing when you are praying, but you have to prepare and sometimes put a little practice into being able to follow through. While I was fine-tuning my lesson, I received what I call my 100 Days of Prayer Challenge from the admin. I was overjoyed, let me tell you, because to me that was part of the training and preparation needed to condition my mind, body, and soul for the task coming up in January. You see, sisters, to be excellent in your own right, there are things we must do to prepare for that task. Drink your gallon of water every day, or drink your water every day in the amount that you need. It will keep you hydrated and help with becoming more alert. Read the scriptures as directed to keep you well-versed in the word. Don't eat or do eat the suggested foods on the suggested days to keep your body fed and fit. Turn your attention to reading, journaling, and even another prayer rather than watching TV, listening to music all the time, or even talking unnecessarily. I'm learning the hard way that always conversing with other sisters or even brothers is not always necessary, but always talking to God is. These things can sometimes be a distraction from the task of praying or even communing with God, and in my case, keeping me from finishing my housework in a timely fashion. Sisters, I implore you to try and do some of the things listed to help in preparation and planning for our next task, praying 100 days and beyond. Sisters, we, you and I, need to be mindful that the devil does not want us to be committed to God in any way, but to be slothful in the word and not to be doers. That is one of my constant prayers, because this world has so many trinkets that take our minds and souls away from God, and we need to practice patience and perseverance. Sisters, I want us to have another successful year of 100 days of prayer. What about you? And now to our last training task. Number 4, how? Are there postures that we need to use? This is one of several things that will answer the how in our training for prayer. Prayer is not dependent on certain levels or body positions. God's clear emphasis is not on external, but on the heart. And yet, he's created us to be complete, unified, whole, body, soul, and spirit. All of our various components feed and affect all the others. We hear professional golfers who study with coaches to make even slight alterations in their stance or grip, hoping to achieve another 15 yards off the tee or better control around the green. How much more should we study the word to see how our posture may intensify our praying? Bowing or kneeling. Moses in Exodus 34:8, David in Psalms 5:7, Solomon in 2 Chronicles 6:13, Daniel in Daniel 6:10. And one day we're told that every knee will bow before Christ in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Philippians 2:10, Even those who refuse to kneel before him will kneel. Lying prostrate. Sometimes bowing or kneeling doesn't reflect the devotion we intend. As Ezra the priest in Nehemiah 8:6, Jesus agonizing in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26:39, and when John saw him in his resurrected form in Revelation 1:17. Yet, as prayer drives us lower to the ground in bowed surrender, it also pulls us up, raising us from our earthbound existence. Uplifted hands, as in Psalms 141:2, when lifting up of hands as the evening offering, or as Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:8, and as both Solomon and Ezra, as I mentioned earlier, they fell to their knees and lifted up their hands at the same time, a position of total physical worship and praise. That's why you need your secret private place to be able to worship and give your all. Uplifted eyes while closing your eyes is a good way of limiting distractions and maintaining focus in prayer. But a common biblical expression was lifting the eyes toward heaven, like Jesus raised his eyes in John 11:41 and Luke 9:16. Silence. Beyond physical postures, what we do with our voices in prayer is also important. Sometimes the best thing we can do in prayer is to be still and know that he is God without saying a word, Psalm 46:10, and also in Psalm 62:1 and Psalms 4:4. Or as Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard in 1 Samuel 1:13. No one could hear her silent prayer, but God did, and answered her request. Lifted voice, along with lifted hands and lifted eyes, the Bible also exhorts us to lift our voices to the Lord in prayer, as David prayed in Psalms 141:1 and Psalm 77:1, crying out as in Psalms 55:17. Posture isn't everything. It's not mandatory or specifically prescribed, but we all can identify the difference, can't we, between the prayers we make while flat on our back, fighting sleep, and the prayers we make while deliberately kneeling or raising our hands or speaking aloud. Our body sends signals to the rest of our system, reminding us we're truly in his presence, truly dependent on him, truly his servant, truly worshipful. And if anything can help us stay this anchored and concentrated on him, can it really be insignificant? Consider your own postures of prayer. See how they affect the nature and clarity of your praying. If your religious background, culture, and personal temperament lean toward a particular style, whether quiet and reserved or loud and demonstrative, think about employing one or more of these biblical postures. Perhaps one that's somewhat different from your usual method. Ask God to use it as a way of helping you recognize some previously unnoticed aspects of his character, helping you further develop your relationship, helping you strengthen your confidence in him, helping you focus your praying so you're not just talking in general, but staying on topic, deliberate and specific. Small adjustments can often yield substantial changes in results. Sisters, there is so much more that I wanted to share, but time is getting away from me. So in this training to prepare to pray, I really hope I said something that will help all of us to make our prayer goal for this 100 days of prayer to be focused on knowing who God is, recounting what he's done and what he's doing in our lives, recognize his holiness, rejoicing in his name, relinquishing all control, I surrender all, and glorifying and praising him. Sisters, I felt in my heart to share this training as we all prepare for that wonderful event of 100 days of prayer to our most gracious and merciful Father. But don't let that stop at 100 days. Or on April 10th, 2019. 2022. Continue it, sisters. Continue on your scheduled time. Continue it as spontaneous. I know I get emails and texts saying, please pray for me because. So use that as your spontaneous call to pray. Thank you for your time and much love to each of you.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Lalita, for that powerful, powerful lesson. Now we're going to have our closing prayer by our dear sister, Adrienne Jamison.
Good evening, sisters. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're here because we love you. We thank you for allowing us to be on the call and to receive a portion of your word and your instruction. Forgive me of my sins, Father, those known and unknown, be they in word, thought, or deed, so this prayer in no way will be hindered. We thank you for the beautiful lesson delivered by our dear sister Lalita Crenshaw. We love and appreciate her zeal, her preparation, and her deliverance, Father. May we each take heed to her lesson and apply what's needed into our daily lives. Bless each and every household represented on the line tonight, Father. Bless our LPW administrators, our LPW sisterhood, as well as each endeavor. I ask a special prayer tonight, Father God, for Sister Minnie Gift. I believe she's a first-time caller. Father, she comes asking for prayer. We're just so thankful for her being with us and for her asking for us to pray for her. You know exactly what she stands in need of, Father, and we lift her request unto you. Bless her heart, give her strength, and give her hope for tomorrow, Father God, in you. Also asking prayers for our 100 Days of Prayer annual event. Help each of us be diligent to our vow to you and to each other. Also, Father, help us to be patient, courteous, respectful, and kind as we call in tomorrow to select our individual prayer times. Be with our administrators as they facilitate and guide us tomorrow as well. Keep us all safe and in your loving care, Father. May we gather together at the next appointed time if it is your holy and divine will. In your redeeming Son, Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Adrienne, for that powerful, powerful prayer.
Now, you're welcome.
All right. Now, sisters, we're going to have our comments from our admins.